What a joy to be with you and celebrate with you God's grace.
Amen.
Grace Community Church. It's God's grace. And I hope that what I share with you this morning, briefly, will manifest the power of God's grace through God's Word. But I'd like to bring greetings to you from your brothers and sisters, among whom and with whom we serve in partnership with you. It is a very touching experience for me to be here this morning and celebrate with you. We are not celebrating man. We are celebrating the very wonderful triune God who never changes. The wonderful sovereign triune God who never fails. Hallelujah! We praise God that He sustains His people day by day, week by week, month by month, year after year, and He's gathering His people. A long time ago, I wish evangelical believers would understand that. That's really the direction of history. A long time ago, there was a man by the name of Abram. I am not able to keep this room. Abram, the Hebrew. His name meant the father of one nation. And the Lord called him. His calling of him had a direction. And that direction was to bless all families of the world. This was the purpose of God's calling, and it had that direction towards a seed, the one seed, the Lord Jesus. That's what we are interested in this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the one true living God who gathers us here, and brothers and sisters in Muslims like as far away as Indonesia, Pakistan, Iran, 22 nations, Islamic nations in the Arab League. And He never fails because we have the one and only. Please turn with me now to Revelation chapter 5. I know some of you might even remember that I preached this message before. I was hoping to preach on a different message, but I am thankful for the providence of God. Pastor Ross chose that I preach this message, and it must be in the providence of God for our edification. God's Word. Revelation chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat, who was seated on the throne, a scroll. In those days, there weren't books like this, but there were scrolls. Okay. Notice. Written within and on the back, full of writing, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders a voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that's in them, saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." It is the will of our triune God that we receive His Word with believing hearts and that it impacts our lives. Please be seated. There is a reason why I asked Pastor Ross to read for us Isaiah 59, that passage. Now you can go home and meditate on it. And there is a reason why the early church did not need Scofield or Darby or all those people that speculate about the book of Revelation. You know why? Even though they didn't have the New Testament, they had the gospel in the Old Testament. Every major theme in the book of Revelation is related to an image of it in the Old Testament. Actually, I was hoping that Pastor Ross would choose Revelation 12 about the battle of history. From Genesis chapter 3:15, the seed of the woman fighting and winning over the dragon, the serpent. By the way, you read speculations about that in Revelation 12. But the Bible itself tells you where it is, that great dragon and so on. It says it is the ancient serpent. Well, Isaiah 59 already gave you the gospel as we see it here in Revelation chapter 5. If I preached on Revelation chapter 12, I would have asked that Micah chapter 4 to the beginning of chapter 5 be read, because that is also about that woman travailing and then the coming of the one of ancient days born in Bethlehem in the beginning of chapter 5. Fighting! And he wins! Both passages, Isaiah 59 and Revelation chapter 5, begin with the bad news. Bad news, you see, the news is bad. It's desperate. It's hopeless. That's why we need the gospel. The gospel is the good news. Well, in Isaiah 59, you see, you read the chapter in the beginning, it's a bad news, so terrible, until you reach in verse 14, that truth itself, justice, righteousness, there is none of that. Total depravity, you better believe it. total hopelessness, total inability. No one was found to intercede or do anything about it. And Isaiah 59 said, well, there is good news. You cannot do it. Religion tells you a lie. All religion, including some forms of Christianity, that you can do it. Well, the Bible tells you the truth. It cannot be done. So God says, well, I have those that I love so much. They cannot do it, but I'm going to do it. I will pay. I will give what it will take to do it. And he goes on. You read it. I am a bit confused this morning which passage to preach on. It is there, you see. You see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in both passages. Because salvation is all of God. Brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, look at now Isaiah reflected in Revelation chapter 5. What do we have in Revelation chapter 5? You have books like this nowadays. In those days, they didn't have books, but they had scrolls. They write. Now, if you knew the language of heaven, the Arabic language, you write from right to left. Well, you write, and when it's filled, you read it, you turn it over, and you keep writing, and then it is folded like this as a scroll, and they had shelves, and that's how the libraries were built. Well, this is a very touching scene here. There was a scroll in the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, notice, it's not just in any hand, it's especially in the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Important. And notice, it is full of writing. From cover to cover, if it were one of these books. But it was sealed up with seven seals. Maybe that other mic would have been better. But anyway, no one seems to have opened it. And God wants it opened. And notice he sends not a regular angel, but a strong angel. And this strong angel enjoys a powerful voice. And God sends him to the visible creation as well as the invisible creation. And he has a message, a challenging message. Notice the question of the message, the challenge is not who is able, but who is worthy. Because you cannot be able unless you are worthy. No one is able unless they are worthy. So John, on the island of Patmos, not very far from where we are, was sitting there across from those seven churches that he was very concerned about, isolated, worried, and he hears the gospel. The bad news was in front of him. He had Isaiah 59. And the Holy Spirit opens his mind and his eyes, and he begins to see what is going on. So he watches this angel as he goes around in heaven. And who is in heaven? Who is in heaven? Yeah. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the saints that died before him. David, Solomon, you name it. And then you have the angels and the archangels. And he goes around, makes sure that no one misses the message. And there was silence. And you could see that John gets nervous because that's the best place to find anyone. And no one was found in heaven. Nervous, he looks and he follows the angel and he goes to the earth. So the angel first goes to those who died in the Lord with their angels and archangels. And now he goes to those who are still alive on earth. The theologians, the popes, the pastors, the elders, all the founders of religion, the army generals, the kings, the queens, the prime ministers, the presidents, you name it. Even President Trump was asked that question. See? Who is worthy? And no one was found on earth. Silence. And John now is very nervous. Imagine that. But there is one more place to go to, and that relates to those who died not in the Lord. They are under the earth. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't need speculation. It's very simple. The Word of God is very simple. The Word of God explains the Word of God. All this, they sit down and calculate and imagine. It's not like that. The book of Revelation is about a wonderful message to a suffering church. Don't you ever think for a moment that the church on earth, despite the triumph of the gospel as God gathers His people, will ever be without suffering. As part of the course, we are called to be in the fellowship of His sufferings, not just experience the power of the resurrection. Well, John, of course, already expected there would not be anybody. You have the devil and his host and all those unbelievers, those who reject the grace of God, those who are without the grace of God, and they die, and guess where they go? But they too, that's why Jesus went down to Hades, right? He went there to challenge. Here it is, you see, the devil is challenged. And John, of course, there was no one. And John begins to cry. Linda mentioned in the last few hours that she's never seen anyone, her husband, cry except one time. I will not tell you. You can ask him. Well, as an Arab, I know men do not cry in public. Well, John wept because there was no one. The news is bad. It's bleak. It's hopeless. There is no one. And as he cries and sobs, now remember who he was. One of the elders, 24 of them, 12 were the old, representing the Old Testament, and 12 the New Testament, the church is one. Because we are built on the apostles and the prophets. 24 elders, and of course the third living creatures. I don't have time this morning to talk about this. It's about all of creation, all of history. Well, one of those elders said to John, could have been Judah. He was not a very nice man. Could have been Matthew. We don't know. Because when the gospel is proclaimed, it's given by God to the church. Here you have the representation of the whole church. One of the elders said to John, do not lose hope. Yes, John, there is no one, but there is still one. And we know who he is. He is from the tribe of Judah, the promised one. We know his roots. He is from the root of David. And he's a lion of a man. A lion of a man. He has overcome. A man, lion-like. But then John looks, and what does he see? Does he see a lion? The Bible doesn't tell us that. He saw in between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, in the middle of it all, in the church, in history, a lamb, freshly slain. And a very strange lamb. You don't like lamb meat here. But lamb meat is very popular. So you see a lot of lambs in the Middle East and in Greece and Cyprus. But a very strange lamb. The perfect lamb you have would have two horns. And if he is strong enough, his horns are still there. You see a lot of lambs with broken horns from the fight, and they lose. But this one had seven horns. Very strange. Have you seen a lamb with seven horns? It doesn't exist. Because this is not just a lamb. Because this lamb also has seven eyes. Now, it doesn't need any speculation, because the Bible tells us, what does that mean? This lion man is a lamb of God, because he is a perfect lamb. He is lambness in perfection. He is more than a lamb. He has seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. You know what that means? He's God, 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 as God can be God. Fully God. So he is a lion of a man, and he is the Lamb of God. In the Middle East, we can tell the Muslims that in the Bible, there are no more prophets. The last and the seal of prophets was John the Baptizer. And Jesus said that he was the greatest of all prophets, because all prophets said he's coming, he must come, and there is no hope without him, and he's what he will do. And then we have the apostles saying he came. But John the Baptizer said, that's him. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the Jews, right?
Sins of the world, amen.
You see, you have wonderful, sound pastors and elders here. They would take me to the woodshed. You see, the Lord called Abraham, and from the very beginning, remember this, don't take it just because I am an Arab. I love the Jews, and I pray for the Jews. But there is a misunderstanding. You see, God called Abram, the father of one nation. He converted him and he changed his name to Abraham, the father of many nations, because he said to him, in your seed, I will bless all the nations. You see, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's why you and I are here. You see, the purpose of the calling of Abram was, yes, had to be a nation to have the depository of the truth there. There had to be a nation through which God would even show the world that sin is sin. And God says to him then repeatedly, you are no better than other nations. God would have chosen the Eskimos. Or any other nation, God chose them. He could have chosen anyone. But he chose them so that the seed would come and everybody would know where he is, because the signs would point to him, and he had to come from the virgin, because just like the first Adam, he would receive his new human soul through the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, not related to Adam, the sinful Adam. Brothers and sisters, here you have the man lion, the lamb God, and he is qualified. You cannot do it. See, this is not religion. You see, religion tells people lies. This is the gospel. The gospel is not religion. You see, the gospel tells you the truth. That's why the world needs the gospel. That's why we have to tell them about the one and only. There is no other way. And you have seminaries today, and missiologists say, oh, well, really, don't be arrogant. There are other ways. Everybody has his way to God. There is no one other way. Jesus says, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except by me, because he conquered. He came and he conquered sin. He conquered the world. He conquered the devil. Yes. And the last enemy of all, death itself. Brothers and sisters, what do we have in the rest of the chapter? You can figure it out. There are only three songs. The song of the church in history. These are not the songs of entertainment. You come to church to be entertained? This is a song of true worship. Yes. And then you have the song of the heaven. Because they are saying, well, God has a plan. How is he going to do it? Now they see it. He's done it. He's done it. He's done it. And heaven is singing. And then the song of all creation. Because every knee must bow. Go study it yourself. You go back to Isaiah 59 and you see God's faithfulness to his covenant. And he says, I have never changed my mind. My spirit is doing all of this. My spirit, you know, the word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. The word of God is taught by the Holy Spirit. The word of God is applied by the Holy Spirit. I had a guy not long ago telling me, the problem with you guys who are reformed is that you do not believe in the Holy Spirit. And I said to him, nonsense. Just stick to what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. Then you will not get confused with all these ideas. So there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Fully man, fully God. And he conquers. He conquered and he continues to conquer and he will conquer. And all things are in his hands. Brothers and sisters, the Bible does not promise us ease. The Bible does not promise us power here on earth. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Don't become despondent. When you see evil against the will of God, about marriage, about abortion, about all of that, well, that's a depravity of man. But remember, he has all things in his hands. And he will never fail in gathering all those he died for. Brothers and sisters, the world, the Muslims, the Jews, the atheists, the agnostics, the Americans, the Russians, the Chinese, they all need the one and only, the Lord Jesus.